Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing WatsonX Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with WatsonX Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Tossed Popcorn is a production of iHeartRadio.
Hi, I'm Sienna Jekyll.
And hey, I'm Liana Holston.
And welcome to Tossed Popcorn, the podcast where two idiots watch every film on the AFI's 100 Greatest American Movies of All Time, the very slightly less racist 10th Anniversary Edition.
This podcast is a safe hacienda for people who don't know anything about movies. Today, we're watching The Wild Bunch.
Well, how'd you like to kiss my sister's black cat's ass?
Number 79 on the AFI list. Warning, there will be spoilers about this absolute waste of our time old film.
Content warning.
Violence. Sexual violence.
Yeah. Liana, there's no way either of us had heard of this movie, right?
No. But let me play you my prediction of what I guessed this movie. Let me play you my prediction.
I would love it. It would be a delight for me.
Hi, Sienna.
Hi.
It's Liana. I'm about to watch The Wild Bunch. I don't fucking know what this is, but I ordered a pizza. So whatever happens in
Yum.
This movie, at the very least, I will have a pizza. If this is a Western, I swear to God. Love you. Bye.
First of all, did the pizza arrive?
The pizza, unlike most things around me right now, did arrive.
Just making sure.
And it was great.
Glad that went well. Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
I've been really craving lasagna recently.
Interesting.
I would love a big piece of lasagna.
Wow.
If anybody out there is listening, wants to send me a big old piece of lasagna. Well, sorry that it was a Western.
Yeah, thank you. I sensed with the word wild and the fact that it implied a group of men.
Right. All right, my turn.
Yes.
Hi, Liana. It's Sienna. I'm about to watch a movie called The Wild Bunch. In my mind, the best case scenario for this movie is like a ragtag group of misfits on the make are hopping from boxcar to boxcar, town to town. I'm talking drifters, 1940s hobo core, apple dumpling vibes, apple dumpling gang vibes. I hope any word of this made any sense to any person. It's clear in my mind. Okay, I love you. Goodbye.
I'm really sorry.
I understand that. I relate to that a lot because that's exactly how I feel when I have imagined something in my mind and then I try to draw it.
Oh my gosh.
I just can't translate it onto the page.
That's me with spoken word. That's me with language. Well, boy, another Western.
Fucking hell. Why? We get the point. We get it. There's horses, there's trains, there's white guys shooting each other. Why do we have to keep watching this shit?
This movie.
There are so many Westerns on the list.
I can't believe it.
They've all pushed the envelope so much or pushed cinema forward that much. What it makes me think is probably I think for a short time in history, they only made cowboy things.
Mm.
And so if it was like 90% of movies actually are cowboy movies, I guess it makes sense that
like 10% of this list is Westerns.
But that's terrible for us.
Uh-huh. It's not an accurate reflection of what cinema is good these days.
Right, yeah. Well, It's time for a little synopsis.
Mm-hmm. This will be helpful because I don't remember a thing from this movie.
All right. Here I go.
Okay.
The Wild Bunch. Listen. You got your bandits, aka, I don't know if they were called this, but aka the Wild Bunch.
The titular bunch.
And you got your hired thugs who work for the railroad.
Yeah.
So it's the other gang. Okay. They were hired by the railroad. Who are chasing down the Wild Bunch.
Okay. Oh.
Girl. I know. The leaders of both groups, named Pike Bishop and Deke Thornton, respectively, are aging and also used to work together. After several gunfights and some nights of sleeping and some scenes of talking, the Wild Bunch flees to Mexico, where they meet El General Mapache, who hires the Wild Bunch to steal a load of U.S. military weapons for his Federales efforts against Pancho Villa.
Uh-huh.
All the while, those other railroad guys are chasing after the Wild Bunch. So many characters eventually die.
Mm-hmm.
There is simply so much shooting, so many vague, bloody, squib-ridden murders, and far, far more unnecessary boob than you ever could have expected. In the end, Pike dies, but Deke Thornton decides to join the Wild Bunch again.
Mm-hmm.
IDK, man.
IDK, man.
IDK.
Yeah. That's honestly all the time I want to spend talking about this fucking movie.
I have a feeling this movie's known for, like, its stunts. Because there's a lot of slow-mo shooting.
Over. Yeah.
I wonder if they first invented the squib recently before.
What is that?
That's like a blood packet. Because they were
obsessed with it.
They were, who else can we make explode with a bit of blood?
Yeah.
But Liana.
Hey.
Could I get a little bit of historical context about this movie? As much as you can do.
You're going to get something.
Okay.
And it's what I could do today.
That is...
We are human women, and we know so many of you hate us. And you're not going to like me more after this. Hey, and welcome to the historical context for The Wild Bunch, the 1969 revisionist Western.
Okay.
Exactly. Who cares?
Revised from what?
Westerns before?
We've seen them all!
I know.
It's all the same!
I hate this podcast.
Wait, oh no.
I hate doing this. All right.
Wait, no.
Set in 1913, apparently, the movie was controversial when it came out in 69 for its depictions of graphic violence and crude men. This was very much just after the Hays Codes when men who made films were like, oh my gosh, we can really kill anybody.
Yeah.
And we will.
It was a lot. It was certainly, it was gratuitous.
It was gratuitous and unnecessary.
Yes.
Both great potential adjectives for the title of this episode. Apparently, the cinematic technique is what was revolutionary about this particular Western, specifically the intricate, multi-angle, quick-cut editing with normal and slow-motion images. I don't know if you can tell from the tone of my voice how little I give a shit.
I gotta say, didn't notice that.
I did not perceive that at all.
A lot of times there's like a, okay, I saw the pretty colors or the whatever, this tech. Did not see that.
That, whatever that was, missed me. It was produced to beat Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid to theaters. And it did by just a few months.
It was the same thing.
It was the same
Train
thing.
Robbers. Mm-hmm. Except for one was cute guys and they didn't know who the other guys were. And yeah. This one, both guys looked exactly the same the whole time.
Thank you for saying that. Thank you. I'm feeling seen. The movie, apparently, according to the director, who was a man I do not care about, was designed to reflect the violence that America was seeing in 1969 with the Vietnam War, a lot of assassinations, etc.
Mm.
A bit about the Mexican Revolution, which was from 1910 to 1920. And again, this film is set in 1913, and part of it takes place in Mexico, very much in the throes of the revolution.
Mm-hmm.
We begin with the Mexican Federal Army, a.k.a. the Federales. They were the military of Mexico from 1876 to 1914. This all is going to be very broad. I cannot go into more detail. I'm doing my best.
That's okay. It's great.
In 1910, the Federales suppressed some initial rebellions, but then there was a rebellion in Chihuahua led by Pascual Orozco and Pancho Villa, which exposed weaknesses in the Federales. And they, the sort of revolutionaries won that skirmish. And then other rebels were like, oh. And so there were more rebellions that broke out. A bit about President Porfirio Diaz's regime. It was authoritarian and centralized. He is who was president when the revolution started in 1910. He had been president for a long fucking time. Hmm. And that's typically how revolutions start. Because somebody left a man in charge for too long and he sucked at it. And everybody was like, why? Okay. Diaz was disliked for a myriad of reasons, some of which were he welcomed foreign capital and foreign capitalists and sort of prioritized them. He suppressed labor unions and he moved against the peasant class often. Diaz had said that he wasn't going to run for election in 1910 when he was 80 years old, but then he did anyway. Which sparked activity from opposition groups who were like, hey, could you not? Then Diaz had his opponent, Madero, jailed before the 1910 election, which, you know, that's an effective way of getting somebody, I guess, to stop running. But Madero issued a, quote, letter from jail, which was a very famous piece, and it called for revolt against Diaz. And people were like, hell yeah, let's do it. Madero also published a book at one point calling for democracy in Mexico, so he was very pro-democracy, anti-Diaz. And now here we are with a bit about Pancho Villa, who is name-checked in the movie. People straight up mention him because Mapache is working against Villa's, I guess, rebellion. Pancho Villa lived from 1878 to 1923. He grew up at one of the largest haciendas in the state of Durango and was operating as a bandit at the outbreak of revolution in Mexico and ultimately joined the armed rebellion to oust President Diaz. He ultimately was promoted by Francisco Madero, Madero being Diaz's opponent who had been jailed before the 1910 election.
Mm-hmm.
And Madero promoted Pancho Villa to colonel in the revolutionary forces. Diaz ultimately was forced to resign as president in May of 1911, and Madero was elected in November of that year. But then Madero was murdered in February of 1913, and Victoriano Huerta became president. Pancho Villa ultimately returned to Mexico in April of 1913 after escaping prison. He had been imprisoned after Madero was assassinated. He escaped prison into the U.S. and then returned to Mexico in April of 1913 to fight President Huerta. In 1913, Pancho Villa was elected provisional governor of the state of Chihuahua, and from 1913 to 1914 is when Pancho Villa experienced sort of the most political and military success that he did. So this movie is taking place right at like the pinnacle of Pancho Villa's revolutionary career. This is a little blip from our Treasure of the Sierra Madre episode about the Mexican Revolution. The leaders of it, Emiliano Zapata and Pancho Villa, both championed the peasant and the working classes. Mexico was neutral throughout World War I, despite Germany trying to get them as an ally, which is interesting because there's a freaking random German guy in this movie.
Yeah.
And the Mexican Revolution paved the way for a Mexican cultural revolution, which included Frida Kahlo, Diego Rivera, and Martin Luis Guzman. And finally, about the Mexican Revolution and the final part of this historical context, one huge result of the Mexican Revolution was the destruction of the federal army and it being replaced by a revolutionary army. So the Federalists are such a major character in this film, and by the end of the Mexican Revolution, they were sort of done away with.
Wow.
Oh, and that is the end of the historical context for the Wild Bunch.
Yeah. Thank you, Liana.
Thank you.
Fun fact about Pancho Villa.
Please.
My grandma and family members have said that they think that our like great-great family members were killed by Pancho Villa.
Oh.
However, I then later read a book of Latino fiction, like short stories, and one of the short stories was called like Every Mexican Family Says That They Knew Pancho Villa. And I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's probably more of the case.
I love that.
Isn't that funny?
That's so fun. Hey, why anyway. Not?
Come on. Yeah. That's kind maybe.
Of, like an easy thing to kind
I mean,
of claim.
He was there.
He killed a lot of people.
He could have killed anybody.
As many did during the revolution.
Exactly. And as we saw in this movie.
Oh, yeah. I keep forgetting that we're talking about a movie.
Don't worry. There are some. This is the kind of movie that's just such a waste.
Yes.
That there's some fun stuff I think that we can talk about because there's really nothing about the movie that has to be covered more.
Maybe we can just talk about your Mexican heritage.
Sure. Sorry, everybody. We have some trains to rob. We'll be right back.
From BBC Radio 4. Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Well, Liana, should we move into phone notes?
Yes.
Phone notes is, of course, where we talk about the notes that we took.
On our phones
during the movie.
Yeah.
Any things up top you want to talk about or say?
No.
Okay. I have one.
Yeah.
This is the first time in Toss Popcorn history in which I have started a movie over. Because I got about 25 minutes in and I said, I said, what?
That's really, I said the same, but I just kept going.
I knew one of us had to know something.
Oh.
And it was already going to be so excruciating to watch.
Yeah.
And I knew what was going to happen. And I've powered through them before. And I was like, honestly, it's as if I haven't seen it at all. I might as well just start again.
I pressed play and immediately like got up and left to get a glass of water. Like, I just did not care.
There is at some point a scene where two men are having a memory and it's going back and forth between the two of them. I thought it was all William Holden the entire time.
It wasn't?
It was two separate men.
Mm.
This is what I mean why one of us needed to understand. It really is the same setup as Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, but Butch Cassidy just did it in a much more appealing way.
Yeah.
By just making it simple. This one said, simple? Who needs simple?
We're going to do the most complicated, convoluted camera cuts in history.
We're going to kill the most people on screen that have ever been killed.
That's so annoying.
It wasn't even like they had the capabilities to make like each death really gruesome. Mm-hmm. It's like they had blood packets.
Yeah.
Somebody accidentally ordered.
Somebody put an extra zero
exactly.
on that order form.
On the blood packets. And they said, we got to make a movie with these.
And we spent our whole budget on blood packets.
It was the most people possible. I still am not clear on everything, but it starts with a bloodbath. It ends with a bloodbath.
Just mainly because it could, really, was the only reason. I looked up today. I was like, maybe it was based on a true story. No. A guy just wanted this to be a film.
I love us trying to figure out why someone would make this.
And why anybody it's gave like, a shit about it.
Is it true?
Was this a relative of the filmmaker?
Was there something new that they had in film that they were trying to use? Mm-hmm. Like, what would make somebody make this? Yes, buxom temperance women.
Temperance ladies.
They were there. Noted. They said it's 1913.
What were women up to? I guess temperance. We'll just have them do that or be boobs. The two, it's genuinely, I think men see women in two ways. Either you're a boob or you're temperance.
This was such a strong objectification of women.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was just really trying to be nothing else but that.
Yeah.
The women, none of them spoke English, who we saw the boobs of, and they never translate the English.
Mm-hmm. The Spanish.
Or yes, they never translate the Spanish, which is fine. But when these women, like, literally, they aren't given the opportunity to, like, express themselves in the movie.
Yeah.
They're just boobs.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also, because they are crude men, they talk about it like, oh yeah, we have like women. Like, oh, do you have any women? Like, here's like, we'll sling some women to you to play with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they were just treated as commodities.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you're so right. And then the other ones they have are the unspeaking temperance women, though they do march.
There were three parades in this movie, which is three more than there are in most films.
Why? Because they have the first temperance one.
First temperance parade. Second one was sort of a military parade. Actually, no, there were, I think, two temperance parades.
Right.
Is that right? I really blacked out for most of this. I think two military parades.
Okay.
After the temperance one. The first one happens, we cannot know when, and then the second one at a different time.
There's one, and then there's
in fact,
another.
Second one. Yes. One of them, I think the second one, the general is like coming into town.
Right.
And he wheels in with his car and a bunch of, it's more a procession, I guess, than a parade. But what is a parade if not a procession?
Right. So what about the one with the Catholic Mexican women with the body of the, does that count as a parade to you?
Oh my gosh, four parades.
It's in a way a parade. Liana, you have a segment for us called The Same Shit Happens in Every Western.
Okay. This is my segment, The Same Shit Happens in Every Western. And I just started taking notes throughout the film as I saw it come up. Here is the same shit that happens in every Western. Bunch of guys on horses follow other guys on horses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's always some following.
Somebody
another.
Is always following somebody else. They're always being pursued.
Wait, that's so true.
I know. It started with the searchers.
Oh.
It continues on with this fucking movie. Something else that happens in every Western. Pew, pew, pew. Pew, pew. Sweeping landscapes. crispy white guys.
Oh my gosh, the absolute crispiest.
So crispy. Just one more job because I'm old now, unlike when I used to be young.
They're all retiring all the time.
Every single hero is retiring.
Searchers, mm-hmm. I think. At least he's old, yeah.
Yeah. Unforgiven.
Oh my gosh, Unforgiven. Shane, even.
Shane. Bye, Shane.
He was like, I give up. I'm done with this.
High Noon, I think.
Yeah, he was going to get married.
Yep. They're all just about to get out of the game.
But they just
the
got to
stakes they know.
Stay in.
Guy falls off his own horse. Waiting for or atop a train.
There are going to be trains. It was the two things they had. Horses and trains.
And trains.
Yeah.
A train car full of horses. As I have previously labeled it, a reverse Trojan horse.
Yeah. That was funny in this one. I really didn't understand who was surprising whom.
I had no idea what was going on. And who was the man at the front of the train? I had not seen him before in the film.
I don't know.
And I don't think we saw him after.
I don't know. He might have just been a guy who worked on the train.
He was like in long johns, vibing at the prow.
I don't remember. I don't know. There were so many faces that looked so much alike that just flashed by our eyes for 2.5 hours.
Absolutely.
At some point, there's a train thing. I read something on Google that said something about a setup heist, and I was like,
Yes, I know what that means. Anyway. I know. Well, the setup heist was the beginning.
Oh.
Because the railroad people put washers in bags.
Oh, right.
And they set up that there was like a lot of money for those people to rob so that those people would come rob it, and then the railroad people could shoot them. And also everybody in the town.
I see. Okay.
That is what the setup heist was. Great. I do not know what the train was and why they had to send their train backwards into the other train, but missing both of the targets.
I knew that they were trying to get weapons from a train at some point.
Okay.
I did not know any information that anybody else had.
That's right. And at that point, that's also when the army shows up. And I don't think we've really seen them before.
Is that who the other guys in the train were?
But I was like, which army? Is it the Federales? I think it was the Federales. But was it the U.S. Army?
Because they were in Mexico, but they were getting U.S. military weapons. Oh. So probably U.S. military, but I don't know. And then when Teresa dies.
Oh, mm-hmm.
She dies because Angel, her scorned boyfriend
mm-hmm.
is like mad at her.
Here was my loose understanding.
Yeah.
I thought she was a sex worker the whole time.
Uh-huh.
And so I was like, I don't really know how much agency she really had to go with the general.
Yeah.
It seemed maybe more that she was taken and had to in order to survive.
Yeah.
And he was like, you bitch.
Yeah.
He literally calls her a bitch and then shoots her to death.
Why did he shoot her?
I know.
Why do they always shoot her?
It's such a... Men are incorrect. Fatally, so often. And it always ends up killing a woman.
Like, of all the people to shoot.
Yeah.
Why her?
That thing of like, oh, I'm like, this man like stole you from me, so yeah. I'm going to kill you.
So I'm going to kill you. Yeah, this
like,
man
not quite
is making you. Yeah, like.
Quite right.
And then everybody just laughs at it afterward. And it was
that
like.
It was psychotic.
This woman is dead.
That was actually crazy. The general has like her blood on his hands.
And they're like,
was cracking up.
Tee hee hee.
Yeah.
Oh, this was all about a woman? Tee hee.
This movie really sucked.
It really sucks.
It's just so much.
And then you're like, at least this movie, you're not enjoying it, but you aren't thinking much about a lot of existential mm-hmm. tragedy, anything, because it's really just a lot of gunfire and you just can't really focus on anything else. And then William Holden talking about what he wants to do when he retires. And you're like, okay.
Yeah.
And then... You get about halfway through and they say, all right, bring in the boobs.
This movie sucked.
It really, yeah, no, it was really, really, like the way it dealt with women was really bad.
Uh-huh.
To be clear.
It was so emblematic of that couple of decades in film
yeah.
where it was like crimes against women being recorded on screen.
Yeah. They're like, we can do it now. This is what liberation for all of us is.
Mm-hmm.
Liana, you've said, was he gonna light the nun on fire?
Dude. you remember this?
No.
The third or fourth parade in the film,
okay.
The procession of women carrying one of the dead women.
Yeah.
Teresa.
Uh-huh.
They go past all the men at the dining table, and one of the bunch just grabs a candle like he's ready to fight. And I was like, what were you going to do? What were you going to do with
what
that?
What was the plan?
I don't know.
Make a wish?
Present it in sort of a funereal way?
Yeah. Mm. Liana, you've made a note, which is, your note is Tector.
I could not believe that there was a man in this named Tector.
They kept saying his name too.
Every time they said it, I wrote it down. I could not believe. And then I Googled it today. I was like, Tector, what is this? And mostly people were like, we don't know. Or it was like used as the name of like a tech company. And then the main result was like, yeah, it was the name of like one guy in this movie in the 60s.
It's probably what it's probably based on somebody named Hector or something. It's like, no, 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 it's not you.
This is Tector.
This really horny, dumb guy. The horny idiot who doesn't understand anything the whole time. Yeah, yeah, that's not you, Hector. That's Tector.
Hector, yeah. For sure.
It's a guy I made up.
Oh, my gosh. I just, every time they said it, it took me out of the movie again. I was like, Tector. I was sort of picturing, is it Raptar, the dinosaur toy from Toy Story?
Or
from
Rugrats.
Bugs Life? Oh.
Reptar.
Reptar. Because Reptar. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It had the same energy. I see that. Reptar.
Also, I'm happy for you that it took you out of the movie every time, so you got like a little break.
Yeah. You said, I dissociated for the last 12 or so minutes of this film, and I won't apologize for it. That's fine. I dissociated for like 150 minutes of this film, so I get it.
The end of it,
it didn't matter.
So the only thing that's like the end, finally somebody shoots this asshole general.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're like, please. Oh, God. They were like, please. Okay. Actually, let's take it back a little bit.
Okay, sure.
They come at some point after they give these weapons to the general. Mm-hmm. He like stole something. And so Angel gets stuck over there. They're like, they give them Angel, basically.
Oh,
because they're like, well, he did this crime to us. And then this other guy's like, well, I guess you can keep him. Uh-huh. And then that guy runs back to the Wild Bunch. And he's like, listen, guys, I had to give them Angel.
Yeah.
We got to get him back, I guess. And they're like, should we?
Yeah.
And they're like, all right. And they finally decide to. And they go and they're like, please give us Angel. And he's like, no. And then they put him back on a horse to get dragged around. And they all go like, okay, I guess we will go party for a while. Which I was like, no. That can't really be happening. That they're just like, I guess we will let our friend continue to get tortured in front of us and we'll just kind of like go party because they told us to go party.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. So they go party for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, they're like, all right, okay, enough of the partying. Yeah, we had a great time, but please, please give us our friend. And they're like, oh, the general's like, sure. Well, yeah, here you go. I'll give him to you after I kill him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he kills him.
Mm-hmm.
And
which
then
I missed.
Really?
I don't know how.
Hmm.
I was looking at the screen, but I guess not the whole time.
The dissociation.
I don't know what happened. I think I sensed, though, that he was about to kill him because he was doing that sort of like tease, like, of course, you're your friend, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, eh. And maybe I thought about Tector again or something.
Tector. Your head, you were going, Tector. Tector.
Yeah. You go into, like, you zoom into my brain like they do in animated films, and it's just like a mouse looking at a sign that says Tector.
And then you look back, and everybody is shooting each other. Yeah. So really what happens is that Pike is like, screw you, man. And he shoots El General.
Okay, yeah.
And then everyone's like, okay, time for us all to blow each other up. So then everybody is shooting everybody. And at that point, I was like, I get it.
Yeah.
And I kind of just leaned back and I went, Tector.
Did you just realize that one guy that you know is actually two separate guys? And that sort of has changed kind of what a lot of different things mean. Take your time and figure that out. We'll be right back.
I'm I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This summer, click into Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot and get after those outdoor projects with some serious cordless power from Ryobi. Tackle more than half an acre of grass with the convenience and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt battery-powered mower. Leaves and debris are no match for the 40-volt power of the Ryobi leaf blower. No cords, no gas, no hassle. Tidy up those flower beds and keep your walkways looking sharp with Ryobi's 40-volt cordless string trimmer. Yard work done and done. Click into Memorial Day savings happening now at your cordless power source, the Home Depot. Shop now at the Home Depot or homedepot.com. How doers get more done.
A little preview for the listener. There will be many notes that we didn't get to in this episode on our Patreon. Sienna.
Yes.
Shall we escape this film into our segment Badges and Trages?
I would love to.
Welcome, everyone, to Badges and Trages, where we award the film badges for buxom
temperance women.
Women. And trages for Tector.
Perfect. I have a badge for the insane flashbacks in this movie. One of the only parts that was consistently entertaining for me, it was goofy and cheesy and at least gave you something to kind of ha-ha at.
Oh, yeah. A badge for this crowd garbling their vow. The temperance sort of preacher is like, okay, now everybody repeat after me. I promise to not drink ever again. And the whole crowd basically goes, I promise to not drink. And I was like, I see what you're doing.
Yeah, guys.
Badge for extremely fake blood. There was a lot of blood in this movie, but it was so fake that I was like, all right.
Yeah. It really was the sheer quantity over quality that was upsetting in this one. And it was almost more annoying than upsetting. It was like,
we've
seen enough.
Yeah.
You don't need to keep killing people.
I promise, we do get it.
Badge for not translating all the Spanish. We've noticed this. I don't know if they just like weren't doing this yet for a while. Because I'm like, oh, wait, was that not like...
Yeah.
They might not have just like subtitled stuff before, like translated them as often. But it's kind of cool to have a movie that's just like people just speak their language and they'll translate it when they need it to out loud.
Mm-hmm. Badge for swimming horses.
Yeah.
There are some horses who willingly go into a river. And they're like, doobity-doo, crossing the river.
They get so deep in it. I am a horse.
Yeah. They just keep going.
They're so brave. Horses are so brave. Badge for seeing old-timey bandits adapt to the modernized world or watch it.
I didn't get that was what was going on in the film. And then I read about it today and I was like, oh.
It was a little bit fun that they're like, I've only seen horses before. What's this new horse with wheels?
Who is this horse?
Who is this loud
horse is this?
Horse that moves very fast. My next badge is for the song that they sing when they leave that Mexican, the first village. Singing them out. I'd love to be sung out of a place.
That would be fun. Badge for this horse who hates that guy. there was in that, like, your horse stepped on me. There was one horse who clearly hated the guy who was trying to ride him and kept like hitting him or just kind of bucking.
Yeah.
And I said, yes, yes, you go, horse.
Badge for Mexico / getting to see Mexican culture. Mm. But I guess it's a big part of Westerns. A lot of times they'll just cross the border. And yeah. It's more interesting to see another culture than just have guys chase each other on horses.
Yes. My final badge is a badge for, quote, "these mountains belong to them," end quote. There was a surprisingly woke line in this film where one man talking about a group of people that they had met who it turned out were native to the region. And he was like, oh, yeah, these are their mountains. Like, they were definitely here first.
Uh-huh.
He, like, did a 1969 version of sort of a land acknowledgement. Yeah. And I was like,
okay, hold up.
Okay. Slay.
Hey, slay. That's a little bit slay.
Yeah. Trages?
Trage. Okay, my first trage is for what? Again, I had to start this movie over, you guys. And I started it over and I was able to talk about it for you. But if I hadn't started it over, it would have been a wash.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing. Mm.
Trage for sexual assault. They somehow managed to like sneak that in as well.
Oh my.
That really sucked.
It gave Clockwork Orange.
Yeah.
It was spooky.
Yeah.
Trage for this through line of wicked little children burning insects.
And I think they literally lit a scorpion on fire for the movie.
Who wrote that in?
Why?
Why?
A trage for women in lingerie. No need. Oh. There's actually no need.
Trage for the hair on this like prospector farmer man. He was a farmer, but he talked
that
like
man was a prospector. He was a prospector. He was the prospector from the Treasure of the Sierra Madre.
Prospector at heart. His hair was dyed gray in the fakest way. Especially when they were in the sauna. It is like shining like a quarter. Very goofy.
Trage for being rude to the horses. These men were not polite to their horses. They kept being like, get up, we gotta keep going. Hey, what are you doing? And I was like, excuse you, these horses are working hard. They have fallen over so many times on your behalf. You leave them alone.
Hey, you! Get on, come on! Okay, actually, these all get really sad.
Yeah. It's minor, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, trage for in this wine scene, it really seemed like this actress did not want her chest exposed.
Yeah.
Like, she was aiming away from the camera. Did not seem comfortable. Certainly somebody was like, let's make that top looser. Mm-hmm. And you can tell. And it's horrible.
Trage for a close-up on boob. They literally start a scene on a boob. And then they zoom out to an entire village. What the fuck?
Yeah. Yes, my next trage is for unnecessary boob times a lot. It just started happening in the movie, and then, like, it wouldn't stop happening.
I have the same.
Really?
Trage for unnecessary boob.
Yeah. A trage for a woman getting shot while topless. God. Like, there's really nothing more insulting and demeaning than that.
Mm-hmm.
To be like, okay, we want to include violence, and we want to
be sexually and now we're gonna kill her.
Gratified by the thing that we're seeing on screen.
Yep.
And it was like, she didn't say anything. She was, it just boob to camera, and then she's, like, supposed to get shot, like, fall over.
Yep.
I don't want to see that screenplay, like what they wrote. You know what I mean?
A trage for he called her a bitch and then shot her. He literally calls her a bitch in Spanish.
Teresa.
And then shoots her. This woman he allegedly loves.
Yeah. Trage for the women in this are literally objects and thus are all treated as completely disposable. And they are disposed of frequently. It's really upsetting.
This movie, honestly, like, I it's sort of leaving me with, like, Clockwork Orange light vibes.
Yeah.
Just in terms of, like, extremely violent and just so misogynist.
It was surprisingly one of the worst.
Yeah.
Women-wise.
It was sort of a dark horse, if you will. Or just sort of, what's the word for, like, it sneaks up on you?
Yeah.
Is it dark
Insidious?
Horse?
Insidious? Oh, what do you mean?
Dark horse?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you're surprised, like, it...
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying.
Right?
I think a dark horse.
It's like I'm trying to draw. My final trage is an existential trage for I just don't know if these horses were well looked after, which makes me very sad.
It doesn't seem like a very caring film.
This definitely was in the era before they had to be like, no animals were harmed.
Yeah.
Because it really was feeling like...
Yeah, I mean, it starts with them killing, torturing a scorpion.
They burned a scorpion alive.
Yeah. My final trad just for it. It's really quite unhelpful in this movie how much all the characters look the same.
Oh my gosh.
This movie really suffered from that syndrome.
I could not tell what was going on.
I had to start the movie over because I thought everyone was Pike.
Tector. Sienna.
Yes.
Shall we ride off into our next segment? How to pretend you've seen this film.
Please.
This is for you are...
In a parade, at a parade.
Great. You are watching a parade, and it's sort of the buxom temperance group is marching past right now, and you're like, what organization is this? And in it, mixed in, intermingled with it, is Pike.
Yeah, Pike.
And he hops out of the parade right up to you.
Uh-huh.
And he says... Howdy.
And you say, oh, okay, here's a high five. Mm-hmm. You can go back into your parade now.
Yeah.
He says, no, you seem like somebody who wants to learn some things today. Mm-hmm. That's why people come to parades.
Yeah. I learned a lot about parades when I watched a film that people love and respect called The Wild Bunch. I'm going to tell you every single thing that happens in it and every single little blood packet that explodes.
And in order to stop Pike from... stealing your time and energy away off of the train that is your self.
Yes.
Then we have a little segment for you.
We're going to give you a few sentences you can say to pretend you've seen the film. The Wild Bunch.
Yes, Pike, I have seen the movie The Wild Bunch. Watching it, I thought... probably this movie is known for its stunts, question mark. There's a lot of slow-mo and a lot of people dying and falling.
Horses fall. Mm-hmm. Yes, Pike. I have seen The Wild Bunch. Somebody in it reports, "All's quiet, sir." And I don't know if you've heard of a little book called All Quiet on the Western Front, but I'm now going to tell you all about it. In my segment, All Quiet on the Western Front, by Eric Maria Remarque.
Yes, Pike, I have seen the movie. I can't believe it, but I have seen the movie. The Wild Bunch. Something about it that I think really speaks to human nature, to the darkness of our society and country. This movie begins with a bloodbath. And it ends with a bloodbath, too.
Pike, I've seen The Wild Bunch. It was actually very children will listen of the director to include all of these children. And that's a little Into the Woods reference for, I guess, no one at this parade.
Yes, Pike, I have seen the movie The Wild Bunch. Who hasn't? That movie, something that was so dang cool about it. Was how we get to see some old Western bandits, the ones you're used to seeing in other Western movies. We get to see them getting a load of this modern world and trying to understand it for themselves.
Mm. Pike, I've seen The Wild Bunch. This is what, like the fourth time we've seen William Holden's full back?
When did we see his full back in this one?
At some point.
It's out? Maybe it's in the sauna. Probably the sauna.
No, it's after he bones a woman.
Oh my God. Yeah. Before she gets shot, topless.
No, a different woman. Crispy man.
Crispy man.
That man has crisped right up.
And now that you have sent Pike marching back on down that street, trying to catch up with the parade because you've held him long enough that he's stayed there long enough that now he has to catch up. We are going to move on to another segment. This is a very good segment. It is designed to save
you. It's very good.
To save you time.
Yeah.
Time.
Which you are going to want because this movie was a real waste of ours.
Wow.
It's pissed me off, man. I'm so fucking mad that we had to watch this goddamn garbage. Okay.
Well, yeah. You guys are never going to guess what we're going to say in this segment. Should you watch this, or when we tell you if you should watch this film or if you should do anything else with your time?
I'm going to go ahead and say absolutely not ever should you watch this piece of trash. Yeah. Piece of crap. Mm-hmm. Real piece of crap.
It's a piece of crap.
This movie was a piece of crap. What you could watch instead, which I haven't told you yet that I watched this, is you could watch the film RRR.
Oh! What? Wait, when did you watch it?
On Saturday, just very recently.
I'm so happy.
I took a little edible and I watched the entirety of RRR.
How'd you like it?
Except for the scenes that I fast forwarded because of the violence. I loved it.
Isn't it? Yeah!
That movie slaps. And if you're looking for action,
yeah,
men who are friends,
yeah.
The hottest man I think I've ever seen.
Which one? They were so fucking hot.
Both extremely hot, but Rom.
The one with the shorter hair?
Well, shorter at the beginning and then very flowy and long at the end. It's got great action
choreography
sequences.
I mean,
gorgeous choreography. Also sort of in the way that this film was over the top in a way that sucked. RRR is over the top in like a really fun
That's
way.
That's a great point. There's also huge like violent scenes if you want.
Yeah.
But it's really fun.
It's so fun.
And so watchable.
That's my rec.
I might cry.
Sienna, what would you? And Sienna has already recommended, I should say, RRR before. She was months ahead of me on that one.
I have RRR already recommended it.
I think you should watch it.
I'm completely kidding. This movie was crazy bad. It was like cuckoo bad.
It was cuckoo crazy.
The one positive, like I think the actors, like the two main guys, like sometimes they talk in a way where I was like, they're doing it.
Mm.
I thought they were the same guy, though. Yeah. They really looked alike.
Yes.
But this movie is unnecessary to watch.
Mm-hmm.
It was already sort of like boring and confusing. And then it just became really like, really misogynist. Mm-hmm. So what I'm going to recommend instead, I'm sure I've recommended before, but it was probably so long ago that you guys may have forgotten. And that is a movie. If you want a movie that takes place in Mexico, Nacho Libre, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Best movie in the whole world. I love it. There's children in that and they're less messed up. And there's white guys, Jack Black.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best. Watch Nacho Libre. Always watch Nacho Libre all the time. Liana, what would you rate this movie?
0 horses out of 5 from me.
Love it.
Real piece of crap.
Bit of a piece of crap.
Sienna, what would you rate
it? Bit of a piece of crap. Me personally, how I personally feel about this movie.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it 0 squibs out of 5.
Yeah. You had me worried there for a second.
There's nothing that I liked about it. And there you have it.
That has been Tossed Popcorn's review of The Wild Bunch.
Wow.
Oh.
And it was wild.
Uh-huh.
And it was strange.
Yes.
A strange bunch.
Yes.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast, for this episode.
Yeah.
You can find us at Toss Popcorn on Instagram, on Twitter, on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a Patreon.
Yep. Patreon.com. If you feel like helping out some women, you could subscribe to that. We put, y'all, so much work into it.
We actually do post a lot of, like,
it's
we do
a lot
much.
Of, you get a lot of bang for your buck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
really recommend subscribing. I cannot.
It is a fun time.
Recommend it enough.
And join us next week when we will be watching
number 80, The Apartment. Sienna is nodding. She's being so quiet. Thank you.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
You can find us on Instagram as at Sienna Jekyll and at Liana Holston. Please check the description for the spelling of our dumb names. We put out episodes every Tuesday, so make sure to subscribe so that you don't miss an episode. See you next week on Tossed Popcorn. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, check the iHeartRadio app.
I do not think I would be good at poker.
No, you would not. You would not.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico.
Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com. /compatibility.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.